Now, one of the things that's really interesting is Angela Brody's elegant animal models have predicted endocrine outcome of all the clinical trials that we have published and discussed, the ATAC, the MA17, the early switching, late switching, up front. The animal model has been extremely reliable. In that model, Angela has shown that animals with ER-positive, HER2-negative tumors on endocrine therapy, in fact, can become ER-negative, HER2-positive. And she hasn't reported whether that's overexpression or amplification yet in the animal model. She's going to. But nevertheless, that's what happens. And that's during therapy. But what she has recently published, or is in the process of publishing, is that if you stop the endocrine therapy and you wait, the tumors revert to ER-positive, HER2-negative. And if you then reapply the endocrine therapy, you get an excellent response to treatment. So in Angela's animal model, it suggests that if you were to do this in a patient who was ER plus HER2 minus and wait and biopsy, as I think one of the cases here suggested, and you found quite the opposite result now, the metastatic site has an ER negative, HER2 positive biomarker profile, and you were then to say no more endocrine therapy, anti-HER2 therapy is what this patient needs. According to Angela's model, that would be a strategic error. And if you just waited and allowed the effect of the therapy to wear off, you could go back to endocrine therapy with great success. That hypothesis is being tested in a study we're doing in Boston, where we're giving intermittent endocrine therapy. We stop endocrine therapy intermittently and reapply it. We're doing an endocrine withdrawal trial. And the International Breast Cancer Study Group are doing endocrine therapy intermittently and not continuously, with the idea being that you can avoid this migration of biology under the pressure of treatment A by not applying the therapy continuously. And in fact, maybe keeping the patient in stable disease is a more long-term, better strategy than trying to induce a constant remission with constant therapy and allowing the tumor the opportunity to circumvent the therapy and to open up other pathways, elaborate other pathways, and use them to progress. And so, I mean, biologically, and based on some of this preclinical data, particularly in the endocrine subset of patients, I think that the field should take great pause in saying that the right thing to do in a patient's management today is to re-biopsy, throw out the information from the primary tumor, and use the metastatic biopsy markers to guide treatment decisions in the clinic. I think that is a leap of faith that perhaps should be viewed with great caution at this point.
Are you rebiopsying these patients sequentially as part of your trial to see if the phenotype of the tumor is changing due to these treatment pressures?
We are trying to. Of course, there's a consent issue with patients, but we are trying to do that. And by the way, I think that the marvel of modern medicine is that we use these parallel technologies to help us. So biopharmaceutical imaging techniques, which are becoming more and more sophisticated, may help us to evaluate the changing biology of tumors in vivo in patients, and also circulating tumor cell biology and circulating tumor cell capture and biology may help us to allow better consenting and less invasive ways to do dynamic monitoring, as Antonia just was asking.